painful menstrual cycles, fibroids, or premenopausal symptoms? Try a combination of herbs European women have used with success for hundreds of years. Tammy Hill of Charlotte did.
I used for about 2 months, and then I went to the doctor for my regular exam. And my doctor said, I don't know what you've done. She said, it's like you've had a divine intervention, because I've had 5 surgeries. And she said, your uterus is so small that it seemed like you never had any problems before.
So you're attributing...
I had to create some sort of an incident. You have to understand that the average American didn't want to get into the Second World War because they knew they'd been lied to about the First World War, and we lost 125,000 brave and courageous American soldiers in the First World War for absolutely no reason. It was a propaganda blitz talking about atrocities carried out by the terrible Huns and the cutting off of the breasts of the Belgian women, of the hands of the little Belgian boys, and of course, you know, all of these things. The idea that we were going to have the war to end all wars, the war to make the world safer democracy, that's what we were fighting for. And after the war, people found out it was all a lie. There were no Belgian women with their breasts cut off or who'd been raped, and no little Belgian boys with their hands cut off. Everything that the media had told the American people was a lie. Well, General Hutchins, are you there?
I am.
Oh,
yes,
well,
sir.
Thank you so very much for being with us. Our guest today is a retired brigadier general. He was chaplain in the military. He was an enlisted man, became a Christian, went out and got his degree in divinity, and then went back in the military and served, was wounded in Vietnam when he was a chaplain, and eventually retired as a brigadier general. Today he is working with a group of Christian Zionists trying to, strengthen Israel. And so I'm going to let General Hutchins tell you a little bit about himself and then tell you what he is doing and the work that he's doing.
Well, thank you, Dr. Sam. It's good to be with you again. Presently, I serve as the president of the Jerusalem Connection. That's the name of our organization, and it's also the name of our magazine, which is certainly one of the foremost Christian Zionist magazines and news outlets in this country. You can check us out at our website. It's www.tjci.org. That's an acronym for the Jerusalem Connection International, tjci.org. I say we're Christian Zionist, and I define that as one who supports the modern state of Israel as a partial, and I emphasize partial fulfillment of God's covenant promise to provide Israel a national homeland. It has certain boundaries. The scriptures are clear about that. But that's what a Christian Zionist is. And we are very supportive of Israel, not in a blank check sense. As a matter of fact, probably some of Israel's harshest critics are Christian Zionists, because presently, under the leadership of the Prime Minister, they're attempting to give away more land. And the land for peace policy that has been in place since 2002 with President Bush, and it was attempted to be restarted at the Annapolis Conference on 27 November.
And of course, if the Zionists control Washington, D.C., they're doing a terrible job, because Washington, D.C. is putting pressure on Israel to give up all of its land. Doesn't it make any sense? But then so many things don't make sense, so there's got to be another explanation. We'll be right back.
Clockwork depurification elements are more powerful than any gravity filter element on the market. These awesome elements are used in Berkey purification systems, and they can also be used to upgrade most other gravity filtration systems. They can purify raw, untreated water by removing pathogenic bacteria, cysts, parasites, trihalomethanes, and chemicals such as chlorine, atrazine, styrene, and MTBE. These elements also reduce unwanted heavy metals such as lead, mercury, and aluminum. Unbelievably, they even remove small microparticulate from water like food coloring particles. Yet, they leave in the nutritional minerals that your body needs. Moreover, because they are recleanable, black Berkey elements are more economical than the standard disposable elements, providing fresh, pure water for less than 2 cents per gallon.
Get a two-pack for only $99 or a four-pack for only $188 by calling New Millennium at 888-803-4438. That's 888-803-4438 or order on the web at BerkeyWater.com.
It's a fact. Since the creation of the Federal Reserve in 1913, all banks in these United States create money out of thin air for every single loan they issue. With never-ending late fees, over-the-limit fees, and higher interest rates, it has become mathematically impossible to repay all debt, making all of us slaves to our creditors. The Federal Debt Relief System has created a successful attorney-backed program to legally eliminate credit card debt, personal loans, lines of credit, and other unsecured debts which have been fraudulently created by the banks. We can terminate your unsecured debt within 18 months with a much lower monthly payment, ending with nothing on your credit report. Join the thousands of Americans who now breathe with a sigh of relief because they have legally eliminated their debt. Instead of living each day in fear and frustration, it's time to take action and turn your life around. Call the Federal Debt Relief System at 877-943-8600. That's 877-943-8600. Or visit FDRS.org. Find out how you can break the cycle of debt slavery. Visit FDRS.org today. In this jungle called life, only the tiger survives. So says the armchair survivalist Kurt Wilson, owner of Survival Enterprises. Kurt talks common sense about food storage, health care, firearms and weaponry, security, urban and wilderness survival techniques, and the simple things we can all do to help us and our loved ones survive when bad times hit. Learn to be one step ahead of the crowd in everyday situations. The armchair survivalist is geared for the rest of us who don't have unlimited funds to buy land, a cabin, build a bunker, or buy all the expensive survival supplies that would come in handy. He shows you how to work smarter, not harder. For over 25 years, Kurt has been helping people prepare for hard times. The Armchair Survivalist is sure to be an informative, entertaining, and educational talk show, with Kurt not only sharing his vast level of survival knowledge, but taking your calls as well. Listen to the Armchair Survivalist, Saturdays at 5 p.m. Central Standard Time on the GCN Radio Network.
Dr. Stan back here at the Genesis Communication Network, and our guest is General Jim Hutchins, and he's telling us about his organization, which is a Christian Zionist organization. And of course, he looks, as do many of us, at what is going on with Israel today, as Prime Minister Olmert seems intent upon giving away Jerusalem and giving away Judea and Samaria. And they've already given away Gaza with the idea of, oh, if we just give away land, we're going to have peace. And of course, now Gaza is used as a site for launching both mortars and certainly rockets into the southern part of Israel. So the system isn't going to work. I mean, and there's no way that you can make an agreement with the leaders of Fatah and have permanent peace, because the people in Hamas don't want permanent peace, and the Palestinian leaders don't want permanent peace, and they will never rest until Israel as a nation is destroyed and the Israelis are being driven into the sea. And so why is Prime Minister Olmert and the people who surround him so intent upon betraying the people of Israel? Well, you pick the story up there, General.
Well, let me refer to a book that came out just this year. It's a book entitled The Oslo Syndrome, and the subtitle is The Delusions of a People Under Siege. And it's written by a Harvard psychiatrist. He's Jewish. But it's very insightful in the sense that what is happening to the leaders of Israel today, being under siege since the beginning of the State of Israel. But the delusions of the people under siege is that if they adhere to, or if they give in to the demands of the aggressors, that will somehow gain them favor with their aggressors. It's an appeasement policy, really. Appeasement means giving in to the demands of an aggressor to avoid war. And Israel is still... But I should say not as wholeheartedly as they were, but the leadership is still committed to this idea of appeasing the aggressor in hopes that he will that he will avoid war and that he will back off and there will be peace. But as you've already noted, Dr. Stan, the Palestinians do not have a goal of peace. And I think that's very important to note, that none of the leaders of the Islamic Jihadist groups, Hamas, Fatah, Islamic Jihad, Al-Aqsa Martyrs Brigade, none of them have in their charter documents a goal of peace. They have as the goal the destruction, the termination of the state of Israel as we know it. So there cannot be a peace. And I would further say there will not be any kind of a peace until Israel comes in and defeats and disarms and contains these Islamic jihadists, these Palestinian jihadists. I think that has to take place. And I think more and more the grassroots, and I think this is true of liberal Jews as well as conservative Jews in Israel, are becoming aware that the land for peace policy is a failed policy. It simply will not work.
Well, I agree with you totally, and I think it's about time. But you see, Israel is being pressured by Washington, D.C. to go along with this Oslo Accord, land for peace. And the Bush administration is doing everything they can to make concession after concession after concession. And I just don't understand why a Christian president would be doing everything he could, from a practical point of view, to destroy the sovereignty of Israel and the ability of the Israeli people to defend themselves. But, of course, you know, Israel is so dependent upon the United States, and we give them money, and they knuckle under time and time and time again. And certainly just last year in Lebanon, when I think that they, had they pursued their military aggression, I wouldn't necessarily call it aggression, but their military policy, they could have won that war. And instead, they snatched defeat out of the jaws of victory because of pressure put on Olmert and the State of Israel by the American State Department, specifically Condoleezza Rice.
Well, I think that the Hezbollah war in Lebanon ended too soon. But I think the Americans, Condoleezza Rice, and I think the president was willing to give the Israelis an extended length of time if they would go in there and do what they were capable of doing. But they didn't do that because of the indecisiveness of Prime Minister Olmert, number one. And secondly, they had a Minister of Defense who's a former labor leader. He had no preparation to be the Minister of Defense. And thirdly, they had a Chief of Staff who was an Air Force general. And he thought that this war could be won from the air. And there was this bombing campaign that went on for several days without having the foot soldiers, the infantry on the ground, and that's ultimately what's necessary to win a war. So it was poorly handled, it was poorly mismanaged, and the Winograd Commission will be giving a report probably about the same time that the president visits Israel on January 9th, about that time, and the expectation is that this could be the straw that breaks the camel's back as far as the downfall of the Olmert administration. It was so poorly handled, so indecisively and mismanaged that the people are the anticipation is that this will, they'll just call for the demise of Prime Minister Olmert. But I think now there are different people on the ground. They have a Chief of Staff who's an infantry soldier. They have a Minister of Defense who was a former Chief of Staff of the military there, the former Prime Minister Ehud Barak, who's already put the Israeli Defense Forces on alert for an incursion into Gaza, and I think that'll have to take place. I mean, the jihadist groups are growing there. They're becoming more bold. Al-Qaeda is there now, we know. And it's going to be absolutely essential that Israel goes in there and does what they can do. They can do this. I'm persuaded that they can do it.
Yeah, but they just pulled out of there 2 years ago. I mean, destroyed the homes of the many of the Israelis who lived there for you know, for decades, some of them 30 or 40 years.
Oh, yeah, I've been
here. And here there was absolutely no reason to pull out of Gaza.
No.
Except as a show, a sign of weakness. Well, we'll make just one more concession and then another concession.
Yeah.
And they forced those people out at bayonet point, and now these settlers, about 10,000 of them living, you know, certainly have... in apartments, or you know, just living, no place, no means of livelihood. Or those settlers from Gaza, loyal Israeli citizens, were betrayed by their government.
They were.
And the military went in at bayonet point and dragged the people out of there. And there is no excuse for that, because what they've done is given Hamas simply a site now for attacking Israel. And yet, of course, they're planning in giving up Judea and Samaria.
Yeah.
They want to make concession after concession. General, none of this makes any logical sense.
It doesn't. It really doesn't. Of course, this will have to pass the Israeli Knesset. And as I say, the grassroots Israelis, I think it's like 77% think that Olmert should be removed. And what, the high 60% feel that no more land for peace because it's not worked. So that's a good sign.
Yeah, but Olmert has said, if we don't do this, why, Israel's finished. Well, if we do this, why, Israel's finished.
That's exactly right. That's exactly right.
And Olmert is intent upon doing that, and there seems to be a very, very small group, but they seem to have a stranglehold on the Israeli government.
At this point, they do. But I'm hopeful that this will not last. I think if there's a groundswell of opposition to this idea of giving up more land for peace on the part of the Israelis, that has to be taken into account. And I think there should be a groundswell on the part of Christian Zionists, certainly, advocating to the president that he should not go over there and push for that. And I think that's going to be very important. The fact that he's going over there, and he's going to meet in Ramallah with President Abbas, and that gives symbolic sanctions or symbolic approval to what he's doing there.
But that's another thing. I mean, Abbas doesn't represent anybody. He was voted out. He was repudiated by the Palestinian people, and they elected Hamas because Abbas's organization, his party, was so totally corrupt. So why are we negotiating with Abbas when he doesn't represent the Palestinian people? If we believe in democracy, we ought to be negotiating with the people who represent the people, and that is Hamas, not Abbas.
Yeah. Well, It proves to me one thing, that when elections are held in Islamic states, the Islamic jihadists will win.
Amen to that.
And I think that proves the point, and where Hamas has taken the leadership, and they have said forthrightly that it's just a matter of time before they take over the control of the West Bank. Fatah gave in to them in Gaza. And they are believing that Fatah will give in to them again once they get into the West Bank and Judea and Samaria. And I don't doubt it. Don't doubt it at all. I think that they have the resources, the training, they have the commitment. And Fatah ran from the fight. They got out as quick as they could.
But, you know, the other thing, General, is that certainly if we're giving massive amounts of money to Fatah, and Fatah, in turn, is giving military supplies and help to Hamas. Doesn't make any sense. I mean, suddenly Israel is turning loose all sorts of terrorists. They released some over 400 terrorists within the last couple of weeks.
Yeah.
I mean, we're actually offering training to the people in Fatah, military training, so they can be better soldiers.
That's
a lot
exactly
of those
right.
soldiers are going to end up fighting the Israelis. Because their loyalty isn't to Fatah. They're part of this whole move of hatred towards Israel. Why are we financing any of the Palestinians? That doesn't make sense either.
No, it doesn't. I have likened our policy to a dysfunctional relationship that takes place in a family. And after the break, I'll explain that.
We'll be right back.
Ted Anders from Midas, December 7th, 2007. Gold, 840 cents. Ounce gold coins can be purchased for $824.57, $406.40 for half, $203.20 for quarter. That's $824.57, $406.40, and $203.20. The Chinese government has begun a campaign of economic threats against the U.S., hinting liquidation of its vast holdings of U.S. treasuries, responding to Washington's trade sanctions, forcing the Yuan Revolution. Communist Party bodies are warning that Beijing may use its 1.33 trillion reserves as a political weapon, causing bond yields to spike, hammering the U.S. housing market and throwing the economy into a recession. Russia, Switzerland, and several other countries have reduced their holdings due to this threat. Economist Ambrose Evans Pritchard published the report, China Threatens Nuclear Option of Dollar Sales. Call for the report today, 800-686-2237. The value of your hard-earned money is being lost in a global game of chess. Call 800-686-2237. That's 800-686-2237.
More than 700 chemicals have been found in our drinking water. And did you know that you can have greater exposure to these chemicals by taking hot showers than when you drink the water? That's because many chemicals are inhaled when they evaporate, and others are absorbed through the skin. The KDF shower filter is designed to reduce chlorine, lead, mercury, and iron, and it inhibits the growth of bacteria, mold, algae, and fungus in your shower. The media is non-toxic, environmentally sound, and is recyclable. The KDF shower filter will typically last 10,000 gallons or 1 year, whichever comes first. Hospitals, restaurants, and water treatment facilities use this media to reduce chlorine, iron, heavy metals, and bacteria. What about you? Order your KDF shower filter, normally $49, for our special price of only $35, a $14 savings. Call now to order at 1-888-803-4438. Order today and save $14 by calling 1-888-803-4438.
Have you made preparations to look after yourself and your family in case it's a national emergency or a terrorist attack? Well, I want to tell you that the government's looking after their people. In fact, plans have been made to protect people of high-ranking position in government, but they're not making any preparations for the average individual, so you're going to have to look after yourself. If you'd like information on long-term food storage, if you'd like information on the other items you would need in case of a national emergency, why don't you give us a call at 1-800-544-8927. That's 1-800-544-8927 and ask for the emergency food catalog. We'll get it right off to you and we'll get the items shipped directly from Ready Reserve Foods. That's 1-800-544-8927. 1-800-544-8927. You're going to have to begin making preparations to look after yourself.
Yes, there is an in-dash AM-FM shortwave radio. For a limited time and in limited numbers, the Sony GT-160S AM-FM shortwave radio and CD player is available only at the Power Hour. This radio is designed to eliminate interference from ignition systems, and the result is clear, clean reception, so you can hear your favorite broadcasts both domestically and internationally. Get your Sony AM-FM shortwave radio and CD player from the Power Hour today. Call 877-817-9829. That's 877-817-9829. To order. Only $249 plus shipping and handling, and we'll ship it right to you. There's even an input to plug in an external source. Your MP3 player, your iPod, your DVD player, or any other source will sound great through your new Sony receiver. These radios are not available anywhere else and for a limited time, so call now. Dial 877-817-9829. That's 877-817-9829 and get your Sony GT-160S AM-FM shortwave radio and CD player from the Power Hour.
Well, Dr. Stan, back here at the Genesis Communication Network, our guest is General Brigadier General, retired Brigadier General Jim Hudson. So we're talking about what's going on as far as Israel, and so many of the things going on just don't make sense from a logical point of view, and yet we know they're going on. And of course, I believe, and I fear, I think it's just as General Hutchins does, that Israel is in the gravest danger today that she's been in, well, that she's ever been in. So you pick the story up, General.
I think you're right. And just going back to your statement before the break of our support for Fatah and what they've used with it, Abu Youssef, who is the chief of the Al-Aqsa Martyrs Brigade in Ramallah, said this. He said, "I do not think that the operations of the Palestinian resistance would have been so successful and we would have killed more than 1,000 Israelis since 2000 and defeated the Israelis in Gaza without the training of the Americans. All the methods and techniques that we studied in these U.S. trainings, we applied them against Israel." So, I mean, that's the focus of this training has been against the Israelis that we have supported and we continue to support. And that's why I say that our relationship with both the Palestinians and Israel has been a very dysfunctional relationship. It's like a wife who is fully aware that her husband is abusing the children and lives in denial, blissful denial of what's taking place. We're the wife, the Palestinians are the abusive father, and the children are the Israelis. And we live in denial of exactly what these people have their stated goals, and then we reinforce what they say they want to do, which is to exterminate Israel by giving them funds and giving them training. So it's a very dysfunctional thing. And I think the only thing that we can do about it at this point is to raise a voice. The only thing that I'm aware of that we can try to influence our congressman. I was just down this afternoon on Capitol Hill. I'm in the Washington, D.C. area to a pro-Israel congressman and taking a video there on entitled Farewell Israel, which I would encourage your listeners to become acquainted with, because it gives a full story of what the Islamic jihadists want to do and what they stand for. And I'm hoping that we can get this before members of Congress. But this is dysfunctional. It's appeasement. We're supporting things that most Americans don't believe in. And you ask why, and I'm not really sure why. I think the president is obsessed, frankly, with having a peace legacy. I mean, he's taken a lot of opposition, a lot of criticism, a lot of heat during his administration. And if he could come up with some kind of a peace agreement between the Palestinians and the Israelis, that would be a huge accomplishment, be a huge feather in his cap. I don't believe he will, but I think there is that almost inordinate desire to have that happen. The same thing was true with President Clinton, close of his administration. And they were ready, Prime Minister at that time, Ehud Barak, was ready to give away all of Judea and Samaria, give away exactly what they're negotiating for today. But the other issue that I feel plays much more prominent role than we're given to believe, and that's the three-letter word, oil. I think that we are oil dependent on Middle Eastern oil. We don't have the alternate reserves available to alternate fuel resources available to us, and we're dependent on that. And I think that's what the first Gulf War was all about. And I think that plays a much more prominent role than we've been given to believe.
Well, under any circumstances, why Israel is in terrible, terrible danger today. And you know what is most amazing to me, and it should be, I think, to every one of our listeners, is that this little state of Israel, I mean, in places it's only about 9 miles wide, you know, from the Mediterranean over to the point where you have the land there given to the Palestinians.
West Bank.
You know, and Chris, you know, it's just this long little narrow strip of land, and yet this is the very center of so much of what's going on in the world today. And of course, this only tends to verify what my religious convictions are, and that is that the Israeli people, the Jews, are going to play a very important part in God's plan, because I believe behind everything going on today is God's plan for mankind. And I think it's being played out before our very eyes. I think we're living at one of the most exciting times in all history. What do you think?
I think you're absolutely right, Dr. Stan. I think that I really think, and I've talked with some others today about this, I think we may be seeing a prelude to what the prophet Zechariah refers
hold that
to.
Thought, hold that thought right there, please. We'll be right back in just a moment. Well, I think that the people who are supposed to be running the board there missed that. So we'll be back here in just a moment with our special guest. General, right now we're supposed to be in a commercial, but...
This portable system is the size of a book when folded and small enough to fit into a briefcase, handbag, or glove compartment. The Berkey Solar Charger has been designed to power the Berkey Lights LED lamps as well as other applications such as mobile phones, radios, digital cameras, and PDAs when electricity is not available. Its multi-voltage capabilities, multiple adapters, and rechargeable batteries provide for a flexible source of auxiliary backup power. Simply place the Berkey Solar Charger in the sun, plug in your application, and you have power. Disconnect your application, and the system automatically begins charging its own rechargeable batteries. Get the incredible Berkey Solar Charger for only $75 by calling New Millennium at 888-803-4438. And tell them Alex Jones sent you. That's toll-free, 888-803-4438.
Spyville.com is your choice for everything spy-related. Stealth cameras, cleverly disguised as items commonly found around the home. Night vision cameras, covert phone and voice recorders, powerful binoculars, security systems, and more. Find hidden cameras wherever you go with a small handheld spy finder and locate hidden transmitters with one of our bug detectors. Spyville.com also carries a wide variety of night vision scopes, allowing you to see in the darkest conditions. Protect your home and business with our complete line of security cameras made to fit any situation. We also carry a large selection of personal security devices. Keep your personal belongings secure using our hidden safes made out of everyday household items, including an outlet safe and even an underwear safe. Go online and check out our huge selection of spy-related gear. Christmas is coming, so don't delay. Go to spyville.com. That is S-P-Y-V-I-L-L-E.com. Or call us today at 866-779-8455. That's 866-779-8455. Spyville.com, where your personal security and well-being is our goal. Since the year 2000, earthquakes, heat waves, droughts, tsunamis, floods, fires, and hurricanes have killed over 1 million people worldwide and forced tens of millions to go without food and water. After Katrina, the media was eager to show victims in New Orleans begging for food. If a disaster strikes you and your loved ones and you have no stored food, you'll be begging as well. Now our economy is slipping into an abyss that even Donald Trump says will make the Great Depression look like a Sunday picnic. The U.S. dollar is worth less today than it was even last week. Before food prices skyrocket, trucks stop running, and stores close their doors, Survival Enterprises can help you prepare. They're master distributors of Mountain House freeze-dried food with up to a 50-year shelf life. Survival Enterprises has real butter, cheese, and bread, real beef, chicken, and turkey, all canned for long-term storage. For their website and more info, call 1-800-753-1981. That's 1-800-753-1981. And remember, if you wait until you need us, it's too late. Call now.
Well, Dr. Stan, back here at the Genesis Communication Network, our guest is Brigadier General, retired Brigadier General Jim Hutchins. And before we go on, would you like to get your website out?
I would. Thank you very much, Dr. Stan. We are at www.tjci.org. TJCI is an acronym for the Jerusalem Connection International. TJCI.org. We have a free email newsletter that we send out every Friday, and we'd be happy to send your listeners to this. They just go to our website and sign up for it. And we stay current on all the issues related to Israel, especially supporting Israel in matters related to biblical issues.
Now, what about that video, the DVD you were just talking about, you wanted to get in the hands of the...
We are going to put that on our website this next week. It's entitled Farewell Israel. It's a very lengthy one. It's 2.5 hours, but it's well worth the time spent. We're hoping to get a condensed version of that for some of our legislators, but it will give you a very thorough understanding of what Islam is about and what they want to do as far as creating Sharia law throughout the world, establishing a caliphate throughout the world. And the means by which they'll do it, military, diplomatic, whatever.
Well, and, you know, if you got me a copy of that, maybe we could do a program on it, because it sounds like something that would be very, very important to be discussing. And certainly there are those leaders within the Muslim world who really do want to reinstitute
the Muslim rules throughout the world. Like, certainly there's no way they're possibly going to be able to do it at this time, but they can certainly create a lot of suffering and a lot of horror in the process, and a lot of suffering even for the Muslim people. This is the great tragedy.
Yeah. And I'll send you a copy of that video, and you can see it. It's a DVD, actually.
Right.
And I'd be happy to send that to you.
I mean, it really sounds like it's something that would be very, very interesting. Well, anyway, I'm sure that for our listeners out there, this is important information to have and to understand that today, whether we like it or not, why there are people within the Muslim world who are in the process of taking over most of the Muslim countries. Now, as the general said, if a free election was held in most Muslim countries today, the radical Islamists would win. This wouldn't have been true 10 years ago. But it would be and today because of certainly America's policies, which have managed to antagonize the entire Muslim world. And if you were going to Egypt, if you were going to into Morocco, if you were going to Algiers, you were going to Libya, you were going to go into Saudi Arabia and have, or Pakistan and even Turkey and have free elections, the people who would side with this radical form of Islam would be victorious. Would you agree with that, General?
I would. I think... We have sought to transport democracy, but democracy in the Middle East, primarily focusing on elections, those elections are, when those elections are held, the jihadists are going to win, and I think Gaza is a classic example of it. I think, Ahmadinejad in Iran, how he was elected to power. And look what he represents as far as Israel and a threat to the world, as a matter of fact. You know, you were saying earlier, Dr. Stan, about Israel is in a very, very precarious position, and it's become increasingly so. I agree with that. And I think this national intelligence estimate that has come out now has really boxed the president in. I don't think that he will be able to summon the kind of coalition support that would be necessary for sanctions on Iran because of this national intelligence estimate that has come out. He's boxed in. And if he can't take any action against Iran during his presidency, of course, we don't know who the next president will be. But what this does as far as Israel is concerned, it places a wedge between them and the United States where they're really standing alone. If we're not willing to become involved, what this does is take the military option off the table for all practical purposes. And if that's the case, Israel's the only one that would realistically use it because their survival would be at stake.
Well, of course, I mean, there's something very strange about this this intelligence, this national intelligence estimate. I mean, suddenly, you know, a week ago, everybody, certainly many, many people believed that Iran was working on and trying to develop nuclear weapons. And then suddenly, within just literally overnight, you have the release of this national intelligence estimate that says that this is not true. Now, how could they possibly have been as wrong as they have up until now? Or is it possible that this whole scenario is being created for an entirely different reason and that Iran really is working on their idea of developing nuclear weapons, which I really believe is absolutely true, and I will tell you why. It should be so obvious to everybody. I mean, certainly Iran is trying to develop and has developed nuclear energy, and they have the plant. It's been built by Russia, and Russia is going to supply the fuel rods to make it go. Now, if Russia's going to supply the fuel rods for them, they will have the enriched uranium. Why are they still trying to enrich it on their own? And the question that, you know, the truth of the matter is, there would be absolutely no logical reason to do that as long as they can buy the fuel rods elsewhere.
Mm-hmm.
So, you know, I think that any person who is halfway intelligent realizes Iran does want to have nuclear weapons. Every country in the world wants to have nuclear weapons. Pakistan, just adjacent to them, has nuclear weapons, and India has nuclear weapons, and China to the east and Russia to the north all have nuclear weapons, and their primary enemy, Israel, has nuclear weapons. I mean, we would have to be absurd to believe the National Intelligence Estimate and believe that certainly that they are not trying to develop nuclear weapons. It's totally illogical.
Well, I think as time passes, we're seeing more criticism come from different. Matter of fact, New York Times this morning said that that basically the authors of this National Intelligence Estimate were largely anti-Bush in their politics, and that this NIE reflects that. And it's certainly opposed by Israel. Israel says, yeah, they did stop. Their intelligence says, yeah, they did stop in 2003, but they have since resumed it. And why did they stop in 2003? Because we came into Iraq. We came in preemptively into Iraq. Libya saw what we had done in Iraq, and they capitulated. They gave over their nuclear aspirations, and Iran probably felt like, look, we're on a roll here. The United States is on a roll. They've come in preemptively. They could do the same thing to us. But they know now that we haven't, and Israeli intelligence confirms the fact that they have resumed their nuclear weapons program, and I think that's important for us to keep in mind. It's a survival issue with Israel. It's not with us. But the way that this has come out now, it's really hamstrung the president as far as any military action against Iran during his administration.
But you know, General, certainly if it wasn't that somebody wanted this thing to have come out, I don't think it ever would have come out. I think that they could have put a message out, we do not want that released, we don't want the National Intelligence Estimate released, or we want a different result. And they have enough power in Washington, D.C., and the executive branch of government to do that. It's almost as if there is a force somewhere behind the scenes that wanted this to come out at this specific time in history.
Yeah.
I don't know whether they could always change this 6 months from now or 3 months from now, but there had to be a reason to release that at this time, because they've had that National Intelligence Estimate for many months, and yet just at this time in history it's suddenly released. So, I mean, I have to hate to sound a little conspiratorial, but there has to be some reason it came out now. And believe me, they wanted to suppress it, that would have been suppressed.
Well, you have a conspiracy if you have two people agreeing on it.
Right.
And that was there had to be at least two people agreeing on this that this would be published at this time. And whether the president wanted it published it at this time or not, we don't know. But in any case, he's boxed in as a result of it, and it'll be very difficult for him to get any kind of a coalition of nations that would pursue sanctions against Iran at this point. Iran is they're sitting over there gleefully enjoying this whole discussion because it takes the heat off them, it takes the light off them, actually. But I think we should listen closely to what the intelligence summaries from Israel are saying, because they don't agree with this at all.
Amen to that. And I think they probably have a far better intelligence base than we do. I believe they probably have people planted in every government in Near East and Middle East.
Yeah. Well, as a matter of fact, our own chairman of the Joint Chiefs is, I think, going over there next couple of weeks, to get a briefing from the Israelis on this. Because the Israelis want an opportunity to show them their intelligence and show them that this thing is for real, that they're weapons production capability is ongoing as far as Iran is concerned, and they've got proof of it. Their own intelligence supports it.
Well, General, we live in exciting times. What would you like our listeners to do?
I would like our listeners to do two things. Number one, read the book of Zechariah, chapter 12 through 14. Because I think, as I was going to say earlier, I think we are in the prelude, the preliminaries of what the prophet speaks of when he says in Zechariah chapter 12, verse 2, I'm going to make Jerusalem a cup that sends all the surrounding people reeling. Judah will be besieged as well as Jerusalem on that day when all the nations of the earth are gathered against her. Now, if all means all, that means that the United States must be included in that in some way. And that's very sobering as far as I'm concerned. I think that's I think we go against Israel at our own peril. But then it does say this, I will make Jerusalem an immovable rock for all the nations. All who try to move it will injure themselves. Then he goes on to say in verse 6, on that day I will make the leaders of Judah like a fire pot in a wood pile, like a flaming torch among sheaves. They will consume right and left all the surrounding peoples, but Jerusalem will remain intact in her place. So I would encourage your listeners to read that and see that it's going to get worse before it gets better. But God will have the last word in this, and he will cause Israel to stand. The other thing that I would suggest that that your people do is to write to your elected officials expressing your support for Israel. Do it in your own words. You don't have to be a journalist or, write a sentence or two saying, I support Israel and I want your vote to indicate that. But if we will be in contact with our voters, legislators say this. I've heard congressmen say this. For every letter that they receive, they believe that there's at least 1,000 people out there that believe the same thing, only they haven't written the letter. So it does carry a lot of weight, and I would encourage you, your listeners, to write to your congressmen, your senators, and tell them that you don't support this two-state solution. Do not pressure Israel to give up more land. Our best interest. And God, the promise of God still stands. I will bless those who bless Israel, and I will curse those who curse Israel. And I think that promise is as valid today as is when it was made.
Well, I believe that as well, General. I do believe that there are all sorts of forces at work today. I believe that anti-Semitism is growing throughout the world, and there are an awful lot of people who really believe that the Zionists control Washington, D.C., and I keep saying, well, if they control Washington, D.C., they're doing a terrible job as far as Israel
is concerned. We're doing a sorry, sorry job, I have to tell you.
They sure are. But, when you are consumed with this hatred, which is really a very real factor, you can't see beyond the end of your nose. You can't see that. I mean, everything the United States government is doing, Washington is doing today, is not, to protect Israel. It's basically undermining its security. And this is the thing. I believe God is going to bring judgment on America because of what we are doing to Israel today.
Yeah, I think you're absolutely right, Dr. Stan. It's very sobering to think that, but I think we still have a means of reaching our elected officials to hopefully get their attention on this. We do what we can, I just must believe that while the president gives testimony of his Christian faith, the people who are advising on him on this issue are not doing so in accordance with the scriptures. It's just not there. As a matter of fact, it's just exactly the opposite of the scriptures. And I would have to tell you that the evangelical community is divided on this. Just the day before the Annapolis conference, there were some 80 evangelical leaders, presidents of schools, institutions, denominations, some 80 of them, wrote a letter to President Bush and encouraged him to move ahead with this two-state solution.
Right.
And I think that's a travesty. Plus the fact that the issue of Israel itself is a hot issue. And the pulpits, the evangelical pulpits of this country, many of them are far too silent with regard to this. It's not politically correct. Israel is a controversial issue. There are a few people like Dr. John Hagee and others who stand up for it, but it's they're becoming even fewer and far between, unfortunately. And I think the grassroots, if we will let our voices be known, I think there's hope in that.
All right, Fowler. Would you like to get your website up one more time before
sure.
we let you go?
Sure. Okay. Thanks so much. It's TJCI, T for Tom, J for Jerry, C for Charlie, I for Israel. It's an acronym for the Jerusalem Connection International, TJCI.org. Go to that and see how we're staying abreast of all the issues related to Israel. And please do sign up for our email newsletter. It's free. It comes out every Friday. We take one of the best of the articles of the week, and we respond to it. And we've always got something of special interest on that. Matter of fact, this week we've got on there Benny Elon's Israeli Initiative. He talks about really an alternative peace plan. It's the best thing that I've seen any place. And we've got that on our website as well.
Well, God bless. Thanks very much for being with us, and we'll look forward to having you back once again real soon.
Thank you, Dr.
And especially if we can get hold of that DVD about about the effort to bring about worldwide Sharia law. We'd love to do a program on that, I'm sure. Thanks so much. Bye-bye.
Now you can enjoy the most delicious, freshest, and healthiest drinking water anytime, even while traveling, during outdoor sporting activities, and in hospital filtration environments such as local or national emergencies. The revolutionary Berkey Light removes pathogenic bacteria, cysts, parasites, and harmful or unwanted chemicals to below detectable levels. It also removes foul tastes and odors like that rotten egg smell of sulfide, and it reduces nitrates and unhealthy minerals like lead and mercury while leaving in the healthful and nutritional minerals your body needs. The Berkey Light is so powerful it can purify raw, untreated water from remote lakes, streams, and stagnant ponds. The Berkey Light is transparent and glows in the dark with its rechargeable LED lighting system, so it can be used as a night light or camp light.
Get the Berkey Light Purifier for only $279. Call New Millennium 888-803-4438. That's 888-803-4438, or order on the web at berkeywater.com. Not yet available in Iowa.
Most Americans are iodine deficient today because they stopped adding iodine to our milk and to our flour, and only about half of the salt that's consumed in the United States today contains iodine. So Radio Liberty has produced a 4-tape or a 4-CD set that discusses the health benefits of iodine. We also offer iodorol. It contains 12.5 milligrams of iodine per tablet. And we also offer potassium iodide tablets, a little protects your thyroid gland in case there's a nuclear attack. So if you'd like to order these products or obtain additional information, why don't you call 1-800-544-8927. That's 1-800-544-8927. Or go to our website at radioliberty.com. That's radioliberty.com. Once again, our telephone number, 1-800-544-8927.
It's a fact. Since the creation of the Federal Reserve in 1913, all banks in these United States create money out of thin air for every single loan they issue. With never-ending late fees, over-the-limit fees, and higher interest rates, it has become mathematically impossible to repay all debt, making all of us slaves to our creditors. The Federal Debt Relief System has created a successful attorney-backed program to legally eliminate credit card debt, personal loans, lines of credit, and other unsecured debts which have been fraudulently created by the banks. We can terminate your unsecured debt within 18 months with a much lower monthly payment, ending with nothing on your credit report. Join the thousands of Americans who now breathe with a sigh of relief because they have legally eliminated their debt. Instead of living each day in fear and frustration, it's time to take action and turn your life around. Call the Federal Debt Relief System at 877-943-8600. That's 877-943-8600. Or visit FDRS.org. Find out how you can break the cycle of debt slavery. Visit FDRS.org today.
Understand. To understand really what's going on in the Middle East, you have to understand Samuel Huntington's book, The Class of Civilizations. And he's a professor at Harvard University. He wrote a book many years ago talking about how the worst thing that the West could possibly do would be to try to impose our democracy, our values, on the Islamic people who look at the world entirely differently. Well, unfortunately, that's exactly what has been done. The CIA has been financing this radical Islamic movement on one hand and then doing everything they could to build opposition to it here in the United States. Why? Because they want a major war in the Middle East. We carry a wonderful book called The Devil's Game. It goes into the background of how the CIA and MI6 financed the Muslim Brotherhood and Islamic Jihad and all of these radical groups. Where do you think Hamas came from? It was funded by the United States and by Israel. They created this radical Palestinian movement. Understand how this all fits together, and then you'll understand why we're in so much trouble today, because our leaders are intent upon creating a third world war, just as they created the first world war unnecessarily, as they created the second world war unnecessarily. Remember, this is December the 7th. Our government did everything they could to get the Japanese to attack. They knew they were coming. I have the pages from Secretary of War Stimson's diary where he talks about going to the White House with three other men, talking to Franklin Delano Roosevelt, who said, the Japanese are going to attack. Now, this was November 25th that they were there, probably next Monday. But, you know, the whole question is how we're going to get the Japanese to attack and get them to fire the first shot. How we're going to get into the war and get the Japanese to fire the first shot. Now, a lot of people say, well, but we had to get into that war. If we hadn't, we wouldn't have gotten into war with Germany. We'd all be speaking German. You have to understand that we financed Hitler both before and during the Second World War. Nothing as it appears to be. If the Nazis were really the enemy, why did the CIA and MI6 help 10,000 Nazis escape to South America after the Second World War in the Rat Line? You need to get our four tapes set on Operation Paperclip. You need to get my talk on Iraq, The Untold Story, which gives you a summary of all of the wars of the last century. That's why that story is so vitally important. And then, of course, we hope many of you will get my pamphlets on Foreknowledge 911. They're inexpensive. All three of them are only $9.95 together. But they will give you the overview of the events that took place that led up to the attack on 9/11. They knew the attack was coming. One of the hijackers had actually defected and gone to the FBI and told them that he had been trained in Pakistan, and they were going to be hijacking our planes and crashing. They were specifically trained in how to hijack planes, and he decided he didn't want to die. And so he went to the FBI, and they knew this in Washington, D.C., and they hustled that guy out of the country. If you doubt that, we have the report that came out of the Senate Intelligence, Joint Senate Intelligence Committee, that tells about it. We'd be glad to get you the pages on that. Understand, nothing as it appears to be. Our leaders are intent upon a third world war. Now, apparently the Bilderbergers, and those of you who heard my interviews with Daniel Estulin, who wrote the book on the Bilderbergers, which we do carry, but he said that one of the things they decided recently in Spain was that we were not to attack Iran. And I believe that that was probably a temporary restraint on what was going on and the basis of the national intelligence estimate. If you want to get the book on the Bilderbergers, you want to get the book The Devil's Game, you want to get Foreknowledge 911, they're all available from Radio Liberty. Go to our website at RadioLiberty.com. And then, of course, we ask you to pray for America, to pray for revival. But please pray for Radio Liberty, for our provision and for our protection. Again, our number 1-800-544-8927. 1-800-5-HIV-WAR.
Hello, folks. This is Alex Jones introducing you to the incredible Berkey Solar Charger, your source for free solar electricity. This portable system is the size of a book when folded and small enough to fit into a briefcase, handbag, or glove compartment. The Berkey Solar Charger has been designed to power the Berkey Lights LED lamps, as well as other applications such as mobile phones, radios, digital cameras, and PDAs when electricity is not available. Its multi-voltage capabilities, multiple adapters, and rechargeable batteries provide for a flexible source of auxiliary backup power. Simply place the Berkey Solar Charger in the sun, plug in your application, and you have power. Disconnect your application, the system automatically begins charging its own rechargeable batteries. Get the incredible Berkey Solar Charger for only $75 by calling New Millennium at 888-803-4255.
Well, this is Dr. Stan here at Radio Liberty, coming to you from the hills overlooking beautiful and picturesque Monterey Bay, and bringing you the news behind the news, the story behind the story, hoping to convince you that reality is usually scoffed at. Illusion is usually king. But in the battle for survival of Western civilization, it's going to be reality, not illusion or delusion, that'll determine what the future will bring. And I have to remind you the views that are expressed here are not necessarily those of the owners, management, staff, sponsors, or supporters of the station you're listening to. They happen to be my views, the views of our guests, and for the next hour they're going to be the views of Bob Fletcher. And Bob has done some amazing work on weather modification, weather warfare. You know, people say, oh, well, everybody talks about the weather, but nobody ever does anything about it, and that just isn't true. You can go up on the Internet right now and Google in weather modification. You'll find a dozen companies that can modify the weather, and they're modifying the weather right here in the United States and in other places throughout the world. And then when you modify the weather in one area, why, of course, you get either droughts or no rain in other areas. And this has been underway. It's been developed by our own military and by the militaries of the rest of the world, and they're simply not telling the American people the truth. And I'm sure that as you begin getting into this more and more and listen to Bob, you'll realize that they can create major storms. They can create major earthquakes. They know what they're doing, but they don't want the American people to know. This is all top secret, but fortunately, Bob was able to get a lot of information from people working within the military, and because they couldn't come forward, so they gave him the information, and we're making that available to you right today. Bob Fletcher, thank you so much for being with us.
Thank you, Stan. It's always a pleasure to be back.
Well, why don't you tell our listeners just a little bit about yourself, because many of them really don't know who you are.
Okay, well, I've been doing investigations relative mostly to government corruption actually for, well, quite a while now. I got started in about 1987 when simply by accident, so to speak, I ended up being stuck and surprised to be stuck in the middle of the Iran-Contra arms operations. This is back when Oliver North and under the Vice President George Bush at that time, in the Ronald Reagan period of time, when they were supplying weapons to the Contras in Nicaragua, and of course involved with all of that, as everyone sort of knows, or those that will remember, in about 1987, there was a major investigation on the Iran-Contra arms sales, and primarily not only because it involved, it was a convoluted mess where they were stealing weapons on the one hand and supplying them to people on the other hand, and also got involved with the smuggling of drugs, where they were actually taking payment. Some people, officials right in the White House, were in charge of this operation, and they were taking payment for weapons going down to Nicaragua with drugs and narcotics coming back up from Nicaragua. So it was quite a mess. But in my case, it was rather accidental. I got in the middle of it, and I ended up being a federal witness both in that case and then also another case that was related to it.
And that was then that people began sending you information
hoping that you'd be able to get this out. This was government employees who wanted the public to know what was going on. And so you had a unique opportunity of gathering a lot of information, not only on Iran-Contra, but on weather warfare. Is that right?
Right. And the Contra thing was, of course, what launched me into it first. I was like everyone else, and that was, I thought that the U.S. government was, everybody wore white hats, and there's nothing but good guys in Washington, D.C., until I realized that was not the case. So I started helping, actually, several different congressmen and senators with miscellaneous investigations.
Hold that thought right there, please. Well, this is Dr. Stan here at Radio Liberty, coming to you from the hills overlooking beautiful and picturesque Monterey Bay. Our guest today is Bob Fletcher, who's really an investigative reporter, although he doesn't report for any journals. He reports for the American people, and he's put together some excellent DVDs. And in fact, we carry a number of these, and he has a number of excellent reports. And we're talking today about weather modification. Now, of course, we see the storm here in the Monterey Bay area where I live, and people say, oh, there's the storm. Everybody talks about the weather. Nobody does anything about it, and that really isn't true. If you go back to 1970, Zbigniew Brzezinski, one of the most evil men of our time, he's the man who works for David Rockefeller, who created the Trilateral Commission. He was the man who was the National Security Advisor back in 1979, that was there when Saddam Hussein came to power, who he was responsible, and I'm speaking now of Brzezinski, for toppling the Shah of Iran and bringing the radical Ayatollahs to power, and then for precipitating the war in Afghanistan that led to the development of Al-Qaeda and the Taliban. Brzezinski is always there working behind the scenes, and of course, certainly working against the best interests of the United States, because he is a dedicated globalist and hates the sovereignty of our nation. He's not even an American. He's a foreigner who came to this country, as so many of them have, not to preserve our country, but to destroy it. But Brzezinski wrote a book back in 1970 called Between Two Ages, and there he talked about how in the future we'd be able to create storms and droughts and new diseases to incapacitate the enemy. And, of course, the enemy, ladies and gentlemen, is you and I, and they've created many of these terrible new diseases, and so many of our people really are ill. But the fact that he talked in 1970 about the ability to create storms and earthquakes, and this is the information, of course, that Bob Fletcher, our guest today, has been able to accumulate. Now, Bob really was simply got started in this back at the time of the Iran-Contra hearings. He was a witness, you know, before the Iran-Contra hearings. And then people began sending him information, which they couldn't get out because they worked for government, but about weather and weather modification and weather warfare. And so Bob has some great DVDs, which we do carry, on many subjects. And it's so important that you understand that a lot of these storms and earthquakes and other things are not simply accidental. And we're going to be back here in just a moment with our special guest for this afternoon, Bob Fletcher, as he reveals what he has been able to piece together, and of course what has been fed to him from people in government who want the truth out there. Well, Bob, you go right ahead and pick up this story.
Okay, well, like you mentioned, I sort of got into this thing doing other investigations, and I always had, I was constantly having people send me little bits and pieces, and they would say primarily saying that the government is doing weather control, and I was at that time, back, let's say, in the 80s, like everyone else, and that was that I was really very skeptical. And until you get something that's really tangible, to simply repeat a story that somebody wrote or whatever the case might be, and then quite often, like we have now on the websites, is you have people repeating people that repeated people that repeated people, you know, and you have these stories that appear to be so legitimate, but in fact they're based on just repeating sometimes crazy stuff that other folks have just manufactured or put out for disinformation. So for several years, I had people sending me information or inquiring if I knew anything about the real weather control and manipulation. And I held off until finally at one point in time somebody said that the United Nations had, in fact, done an entire treaty, put together a treaty quite a long time ago, with the United States and with Russia and Great Britain, the main powers of the world, and that this particular treaty was a restriction on an agreement that we would restrict the use of weather control and weather modification to not use it as a weapon of war. And, of course, again, this was just a rumor until I actually got a hold of the United Nations directly myself. I just simply called right into the United Nations. I had had a certain amount of notoriety. I had already appeared on Good Morning America and some other major programs in relative to other intelligence information. And I contacted them and told them who I was. And lo and behold, within a few, couple of weeks or whatever it was, I got a copy of the actual treaty. Now, that was in October of 1994.
Now, this was the United Nations Treaty on Weather Modification and Weather Control.
Right. And to my surprise, I mean, I was really, to use the term, blown away that I could actually get this. And they, interestingly enough, they sent an actual legal certification to me, which actually was a certification that this was real documentation from the United Nations, was sent to me in both English and French, which was whatever. It was just interesting. I got a kick out of that. But the bottom line was that the treaty actually read, for the most part, that now that the nations of the world, the major nations, had the ability to create earthquakes and to create modification and alteration of the atmosphere and actually control and manufacture weather, that we have to agree that we will not utilize it against each other as a weapon of war. And that to have it physically printed by the United Nations, that this was the signed treaty back in, by the way, it was 1977 when the treaty was put together. So that far back, we already had, then we had an acknowledgement that, in fact, we were doing serious weather control. And then, of course, from that point forward, I said, well, this is real. So I pursued it, chased, contacted people that I had friends in several levels of government right out of the White House, so to speak, and other people that were in the military. And I seriously went out and started getting information. And, of course, that led me to what is now a little bit of a somewhat common knowledge, and that is the HAARP, the High Altitude Aurora Research Program up in Alaska. That program is 40 acres, or involves 40 acres of electronic signaling devices, some of which are used, of course, as part of the electronic weather control. And by the way, I wanted to mention, it's really important, we're not talking about the old seeding of weather, of clouds to create weather, which, of course, we've done for quite a while. What my biggest concern is the very high-tech electronic controls and superheating of the atmosphere and the ionosphere, and also, of course, the surface water with electronic mechanisms that actually will cause earthquakes. Well, we can actually cause tornadoes and hurricanes and things of that sort, reproducing the heat and the changes of temperature that is natural, what in nature will commonly actually cause such storms. And it's actually being done by different means of electronics.
Well, I think that it's important that people understand that the elite who really run the country don't want us common people to know what they're up to. So they make these things all top secret. Oh, my goodness, we don't want Osama bin Laden to worry, to learn about this, or whatever the excuse would be. No, they don't want the American people to know what they're really up to, that they can actually create storms, they can modify the weather. And, of course, what they were doing, of course, is they, for instance, they wanted a large snowpack up in Montana, because, of course, that water, much of that goes down to Los Angeles through aqueducts, and so they would create great storms up in Montana. But, of course, when they take the moisture out of the atmosphere in Montana, then it doesn't move eastward, and you get droughts in those areas. But there's nobody there who's preventing this from happening. And if you doubt this sort of thing happens, you go up on the Internet and Google in weather modification, you'll find a half a dozen to a dozen companies that will modify the weather for you if you just give them enough money. But you're not supposed to know about that, ladies and gentlemen. You're not supposed to realize that the elite has all of these programs available, and they really are modifying the weather and using it not against the enemy, unless you consider we are the enemy. We, the people of the United States. And they're modifying our weather and creating droughts and problems all throughout the world. But go ahead, pick the story up there.
Well, in what they do maintain a top secret status on, which, by the way, this is under the United States Air Force. They are the ones that presently have the classified top secret operations, and those involve satellites, base stations on the ground, satellites and aircraft in the air, flying and doing the electronic superheating and altering of the temperature of both the groundwater in a specific area and the upper ionosphere and the atmosphere in the sky. And again, like you point out, in nature, there's a horrendous amount of water constantly in what we would call the jet stream. And it flows on a regular basis in given directions. They always have for little thousands or millions of years, and there is a tremendous amount of humidity up there. The amount of the volume of it is mind-boggling. It's like the Amazon River flowing in a mist or a humidity form. And if you can block that off or electronically cultivate it, and of course doing the temperature changes, you can create a specific location and bring that rain down. When you bring it down, as you mentioned, in one place, it obviously is not going to make it around to where it should be going, or where by nature it would have fallen, maybe in the middle of the Sahara Desert to eliminate a drought, or even in the United States to eliminate the drought. If you bring it down someplace else, then it's not going to be at point A if it's already brought down at point B. And so the ability to do this with electronics goes back many, many years on the in terms of the initial investigations or the laboratory work. And it goes, what surprised me was I found out that the Russians and the United States shared tremendously at some of our top secret bases and are some of our laboratories for many years in the creation of the electronics to do this. This was the period of time when they were telling us, of course, every day that the Russian was the big enemy of the American people.
Well, of course, you've got to have an enemy to rally the people behind the government. Our government has worked closely with the Russians on so many projects. In fact, as we pointed out repeatedly, 10 years ago, Russia was bankrupt. 10 years ago, Russia couldn't meet its international obligations. And yet, of course, today, Russia is the largest exporter of oil and natural gas in the world, has some of the largest reserves in the world, over $450 billion in reserves. And how did they do it? Why, thanks to American companies, Exxon, and of course, then Royal Dutch Shell and British Petroleum, investing massive amounts of money in the Russian oil. Certainly, the Export-Import Bank, the Asian Development Bank, the World Bank, all financed with American tax dollars, developing Russia's oil fields and building their pipelines. And if you doubt that, you want the documentation, my pamphlet, The Communist Capitalist Alliance. the communist-capitalist alliance. So nothing is as appears to be, ladies and gentlemen. You're not supposed to understand that we've built up the best enemy money could buy. You have to have an enemy to rally the people behind the government so they'll be subservient and pay their taxes and do what they're supposed to do and send our boys overseas to fight and bleed and suffer and die in no-win wars. That's what it's all about, but we can't let the common people know. We're going to be back in just a moment with Bob Fletcher, and he was talking about how the Russians and the United States were working together on the weather modification. Of course we work together. We work together on all sorts of things, but we can't let the common people know that. The Russians are the enemy, the wicked enemy, and the government's going to protect us from the wicked enemy out there. Well, Bob, you go ahead.
And back in 1995, and so this is actually now 12 years ago, in June of 95, I testified before the United States Intelligence Committee, and it was relative to other events that had been taking place, et cetera, in that period of time. But I was sort of ambushed by Senator Cole, I believe he's out of Wisconsin, and his intention, of course, was to make myself look foolish. That was where, you know, to so that some other things that I was informing people about would, of course, not seem to have credibility. And he ambushed me on a statement that I had made to the United Press International back in 95, and that was where I had just simply said something about the fact that the United States and Russia would utilize the New World Order, would be utilizing weather control as a weapon and be able to bankrupt entire nations if they were so inclined to do so. And of course, Senator Cole jumped on me on that statement as if it was a ridiculous statement. However, unfortunately for Senator Cole, he was not aware of any of this information. That's all. You know, it's real easy to make fun of something if, in fact, you don't know a darn thing about it. It seems to be news and maybe outrageous news that that our secret operations are doing weather control. So he was not aware, for example, and I pointed out to him at that time that Senator Claiborne Pell, one of his cohorts, the Democrat from Rhode Island for many years, had been involved directly himself with the creation of that United Nations World Treaty on Weather Control, had done several stories himself about weather control, and that in fact it could turn out to be one of the most dynamic weapons that the Russia and America had ever created. And I point out the interesting point of this meeting back in 1995, because 10 years later, almost to the day, in June of 2005, the United States Congress and the Senate was putting together H.R. Bill, the Bill 2995 for the year of 2005, and it is a bill to create the Weather Modification Research and Technology Transfer Act. And what this actually is a creating a board, a committee to oversight all of the weather modification operations being taken place in the United States of America. And so here we are only a short 10 years after I had the congressman, the senator throwing stones at me relative to what I was saying, and all of a sudden now they have a full-time committee that they're creating just to this. Now this committee, so you understand, get a good handle on it, this actually will be like a the Public Relations Committee, and that is keeping a lid on the super top secret operations, mixing them with some of the operations that are rather not very secret, and then letting the public know, feeding us a little bit of information, but keeping us at an arm's length away from what would be the real top secret stuff.
Hold that thought. We'll be back in just a moment here.
Well, this is Dr. Stan, and Bob was simply talking about a recent legislation that was passed to create a government committee, either House or Senate committee, that was going to be, of course, monitoring the weather modification programs. And, of course, the whole idea would be to keep the real important information away from the American people. But that legislation has been passed within the last 3 or 4 months, hasn't it?
I believe it now is passed. It took about a year, June of 2005 was when they initiated it. What happens, it goes in, they bang it around a little bit back and forth, change it and alter it. And something that a lot of folks don't realize, that if it's not passed by the end of any given year, it has to be actually dropped off completely and then restarted in January or February of the next year. Quite often it ends up going into it's 2 years before it. But I believe, I'm not positive, but I believe this has been now passed, and they will now be financing this committee.
And, of course, if they are not modifying the weather, why would they bother to have the committee? Well, of course they're modifying the weather, but they're not going to tell us common folks about it, because we might really be concerned about some of the terrible devastation that they're creating with their storms and with their droughts and with their earthquakes.
Right.
And why would they do this sort of thing? Because they want to play God, and they are playing God, and they want to be able to disrupt the economy of some countries. They want to be able to, actually prevent the growing of crops. And one of the major things that they feel is there are too many people in the world. If we could only create great famines, why, a lot of people would die, and wouldn't that be wonderful? Because then there would not be so many people using all of the natural resources which belong to the elite. They have a different worldview, don't they, Bob?
Well, and of course, what happens there is it becomes a weapon that someone could use, and like you say, you actually totally bankrupt or starve a nation or a part of a nation or whatever the case may be, cause tremendous financial grief, and do it without anybody having the finger pointed at them. They simply, of course, would say, well, gee, that was just an act of God. That was terrible. We had all these storms, and we had this, and we had that, and now they're in a terrible financial shape, and isn't that a shame? But it's a great, unbelievable weapon, if you think of it from that point of view, where somebody can throw a switch, so to speak, and completely wipe out a given part of any place, any nation at all. What we have on the DVD report that the folks can actually get from you there, Stan, on weather control, is all of the documentation that we came up with. That includes even the patents on the equipment, pretty good explanation on how they work. Also, all the way back to the early 80s and late 70s, when there was a government form that a person or an organization would fill out when they were going to do weather modification. It was actually a government form back as far as the 70s that had to be completed when somebody was going to be experimenting with weather control. And, of course, this was something that was there when Senator Cole from Wisconsin was trying to ridicule myself for reporting this information. There was a great story written about both the Pentagon and the Kremlin getting together, both together and separately, doing weather modification in 1982. This was a story that was written and printed in several newspapers. They were dealing with also ultrasound, not only the high microwave, extreme high frequencies that, again, by being able to specifically target a given point and shooting it, bombarding it with high frequencies, they could actually cause so much heat at a given point that it would boil water. And they were utilizing, now this is really amazing, I'm going to give you the date that they were doing this, but they would utilize as much as a 400 thousandths per second vibration, a sound wave weapon they were creating that would actually explode water from a water to a steam state and that was in 1948, Stan.
They've had this technology for a long time, and of course what they do is through the use of HARP, they will heat the ionosphere, or they'll heat an area in the ocean and heat the ionosphere above it, and then of course the air begins to rise, and when it begins to rise it cools and of course precipitates out all the moisture there, and now we can have a hurricane.
Instant tornado.
And they can get instant tornadoes. They know what they're doing. Why are we having so many tornadoes here? One day, or one week, one time, and then suddenly there's no tornadoes for a while. They can do whatever they want to, ladies and gentlemen, and you have no grasp of what's really going on because you're never going to hear about this on the conventional media. Well, go ahead, Bob, and just pick the story up there.
There is, of course, you know, here's the problem with elements or weapons of this sort that are developed. There always are good examples or good reasons to create something like this. If you can create a piece of equipment that actually, for example, could convert a drought-stricken area and cause rain to fall in that area, well, then that would be the good application of the equipment. If you, which they did, utilized as a good reason to get into this many years back, was where they had fog that, for example, would bad inclement fog weather would block off an airport, and if they had the ability to wipe that fog out by simply throwing a switch and causing that fog to convert to just plain rain itself, well, then that also would be a good application for this equipment. But unfortunately, as with everything else, when we've created, for example, the splitting of atoms, obviously you can have it as a means to generate electricity for thousands and thousands of homes, or you can create it, turn it into an atomic bomb, and of course kill hundreds of thousands with a single bomb. So there's always a good excuse to come and say, well, now we can't just stop working on this because how wonderful it would be to be able to eliminate bad inclement weather that's causing airplane crashes and droughts and things of that sort. But you always got the devil in the detail, and the devil hiding behind the application of this equipment to turn it into a very serious weapon. During a period of time in 1997, we discovered, to my pleasant surprise, that the Wall Street Journal did a major story done through the United Press International, whichever it was, UPI. I'm pretty sure that was the original source, but the country of Malaysia had actually contracted in November of 97 with the Soviet Union, and they had a company in the Soviet Union called ELATE, E-L-A-T-E, which was their weather control company, state-owned company in Russia, and Malaysia had contracted with them to utilize...
Hold that thought, Bob. We're going to be right back. Well, this is Dr. Stan, and Bob was just saying that back in 1997, why Malaysia had a terrible, terrible forest fires, and there was such heavy and oppressive smoke all in that area that they actually got a contract with a company in Russia to come over and create a big rainstorm to get all the smoke out of the air. Now, apparently that article appeared in the Wall Street Journal telling about that bomb?
Yes, it was Wall Street Journal, November 13th of 1997. It was about 2 years after my appearance before the Senate on that subject. And they actually had contracted with the company called ELATE to use their electronic satellites to create cyclones, the name for good tornado or windstorm over there, to blow away the smoke from the Malaysian countries. Yeah, like you say, the smoke was so bad, and by the way, it was not even their forest. It was smoke coming from other mainland that was blowing across the ocean and settling in Malaysia. So bad that people were dying in the street from it. It literally was like living or trying to live inside of a burning house. That's how bad the smoke was. But anyhow, they actually had contracted, and of course this was the first, I would say, major media admitting that there was such an operation that actually was electronic weather control.
One of the things you commented on is that during the Vietnam War, they actually, of course, were working to create monsoons along the Ho Chi Minh Trail so that the Viet Cong would not be able to bring the supplies down that were being used to kill our boys. Is that right?
Right. And as a matter of fact, that was part of the interesting story that Senator Claiborne Pell had written himself, and where he had said that, in fact, to create the Ho Chi Minh Trail into a muddy quagmire, that we had utilized weather modification in the Vietnam War to achieve that. Now, a lot of that was the earlier methods of manipulation and not so much electronics. However, it falls into the same category. Now, the other part to this, which is important because it was mentioned in the United Nations treaty itself, and by the way, our DVD has that treaty also clearly shown. If you want to get that report from contact Stan, and he can get it to you. But the treaty, very importantly, mentions the ability to create earthquakes. And this, there's several ways to do this, and again, the more frightening method is the use of extreme low-frequency vibrations to actually, again, similar to a plasma beam or a radar or a microwave gun, they can physically aim high or low frequency vibrational guns electronically vibrating the earth itself and a weak spot cause or create an earthquake wherever they might want one to take place. And that's part of the United Nations treaty, so it is not just something that somebody that had too many wines in the afternoon or an extra drink or two might have put together some kind of a false story. This is actually documented information.
And, of course, so much of this is in Bob's video DVD, which we do offer here through Radio Liberty. We think it's important that you get the information you understand. And how would they manage to keep this information to the public? Why, they control the media. There are five mega corporations that control 90 to 95% of the media in the United States, and you are told what they want you to know. Now, if you'd like to document what I'm saying, an excellent book is called The New Media Monopoly by Professor Ben Bekdakian of the University of California. And the book, you will have to order that. We don't carry it anymore, but it's an important book. Understand that what you hear on radio, most radio, and what you see on television, what you read in books and magazines and certainly in newspapers, is carefully filtered to keep the important elements away from the public. Because the common people are not supposed to realize the tremendous power. And, of course, what they do is they use the military, American military spending, to develop all these techniques that one day they will use against the people of this world. Because there are people out there of great power who have a different worldview, and they believe there are too many people in the world, and we're going to have to get rid of an awful lot of them. In fact, you read some of the writings of these people, they talk about getting rid of 90% of the world's population. One of the very excellent techniques is famine, but there are lots of other techniques. New diseases can work and work very efficiently. War is always a fairly efficient technique. Certainly, AIDS is, in Botswana, 46% of the pregnant women are HIV infected. They're all going to die. Either the greatest public health tragedy of all times, failure of all times, or a very successful genocidal policy. if the policy was a failure, you'd think they'd change it, but they haven't. They're continuing the same policy. Maybe we'll try for around 60%. Who knows? If you want the documentation, we'll be glad to give it to you. It comes from the U.S. Census Bureau. U.S. Census Bureau is working down and throughout Africa, gauging what a great job we're doing with population control. And in Botswana, 46% of the pregnant women tested for HIV. HIV infected, and they're all going to die. What a terrible tragedy. But there's some people who think that's a great success, a very successful genocidal policy. Well, Bob, you know, as you tell people about the weather control, what sort of response do you get?
Well, I guess the important point is that we, in my own situation, all of the different things that I've investigated and the six or seven video presentations that I've done on specific subjects, I've been very careful to have a mountain of documentation. The documentation is right straight from the horse's mouth and not, like I said, secondary and third-hand information, so that commonly, as surprised as people might be, or their initial feeling that they might not accept this or believe this, because again, now, you know, we're getting into that thing, even involves religion, Stan, you know, where people say, well, gee, only God could change the weather. Man certainly couldn't change the weather. It's too huge, it's too large and ambiguous and all to zoom in on a given area and alter the weather. And of course, unfortunately, I always point out that one would commonly think that God would be the only one that could split an atom, too. But it's been many years since we've cracked open that Pandora's box. And typically, we have so much information. And, I mean, it's, you know, it's not mine. It's not something where I could just say, listen, I think or I believe or maybe it's happening. We have the patents. We have the government documentation. And it's a kind of a thing that people just can't deny. So as much as they may hate to deny it, they end up looking at everything and or look at the report that we've done that you have there on our DVD. You can't say it doesn't exist. It's just too much. So we don't get as much of a resistance when they actually see all the documentation.
Well, of course, now we've talked about HARP, the High Altitude Auroral Research Project, which, of course, they're able to heat the ionosphere and, of course, heat the very specific areas of the ocean to create some of their storms. Where do chemtrails fit into this? Are they a factor? Are they real? And what does that have to do with weather modification?
Well, I believe, of course, some of the chemtrails are quite simply new experimental aircraft. And what the percentage might be, I don't know, but they're, you know, an experimental aircraft relative to some new engines that they've got and some of the super secret aircraft like the Aurora project, which they've denied exists, you know, for years and years. Some of them are that. But there are some chemtrails, my belief at this time, because of some of the documentation that we're getting now worldwide, some of the chemtrails, I believe, would fall into that chemical cloud creation or cloud forming or cloud expansion, which actually is the chemical side and not, of obviously, electronic. Like I say, the biggest concern I have is not so much the seeding and the chemical side that they've been doing since the 30s, actually, the 30s and the 40s in terms of studying and utilizing chemical additives to cause rain. The big point, I believe, and the most frightening successful, of course, is the electronics. And when if you add chemicals to the atmosphere, I think there's a certain amount of a detrimental the application, I think, can be detrimental to the atmosphere, but I think it's much worse if we start superheating the ionosphere and burn some additional holes in the ionosphere itself while fooling around with some of these electronics. I think that's what bothers me a little more than the chemtrails. There are a lot of people have done stories and say, well, there was chemtrails and a plane flew over and I got a real bad coughing spell, or 16 of my chickens fell over dead, so the CIA is targeting me or something like that. I'm afraid those stories I sort of put into the trash pail. But there is certainly some connection of some of these chemtrails being a chemical cloud seeding type operations. I've seen enough of them now where a chemtrail would eventually in a couple of hours turn into a standing cloud. So it actually did create a cloud, and it's a good chance that that's chemical seeding.
And, of course, some of them are just simply contrails, the normal contrails you'll see from a plane flying overhead. But those contrails disappear and dissipate fairly quickly. But it's when they fly back and forth and back and forth, creating that checkered pattern over the sky. And sometimes there'll even be a couple of planes doing it. And that's, of course, when they're doing actual seeding and creating the clouds. Well, Bob, you know, Chris, to the average individual, they say, well, this is all well and good, but this is not going to affect me. And unfortunately, most people really aren't too concerned about this as long as they think this is not going to affect them. How is the average individual going to be affected either now or later by this frightening, powerful technology?
You know what? I guess the very best example. Now, first off, let me preface by saying that there's no good way to know when they're doing this, where they're doing it, or what given area, unless you had Uncle Charlie that works for the top secret Air Force operation sitting at the control panel someplace and doing some of the experiments himself. There's no other good way that we're going to know where or when they are actually carrying out these very amazing experiments. But a perfect example has to be the Oregon-Washington coast as of last week, that all of a sudden, out of nowhere, a tremendous amount of rainfall, flooding, and devastation of areas on the coast of the state of Washington, right here, not far from where I live, that was totally annihilated, turned into a state emergency in a period of 8 hours. One day it was just an average weather configuration. The following 2 days turned into mudslides and floods like they've never had in about 100 years. Now, those are the very same people that you might talk about that you just mentioned that would say, how would this affect me? Well, now, I'm not saying that that was part of one of these experiments, but I certainly would not say that it wasn't. And
of course, everything is top secret. I mean, it's always in the name of, we don't want Osama bin Laden to learn, so everything is top secret, it's classified, and you're not supposed to know. But actually, you've got a couple of hundred pages of material out of somebody had sent them to you from the Air Force on weather modification a number of years ago.
Oh, yes. It was a huge package. I don't even remember, but I'll be honest. Off the top of my head, I'm thinking it was as much as 600 pages. It came in a couple of packages. And that was the complete military analysis and projection of military application of the electronic weather control. It showed complete total breakdowns on the military, the plan, the use, the utilization of aircraft and satellites, how they could use these the ability to control and create weather, how they would use it in military operations, how it would stand alone as an operation, how it would stand to subsidize the activity of troops on the ground, how they could make it work for missiles and air attacks, et cetera, et cetera. So, this is like we mentioned earlier, on the one hand, you could say that there's a lot of good methods an application for weather control. There certainly could be if you used it that way. But as usual, we've converted it into a devastating weapon. And this, by the way, the information that I got that was so extraordinarily in-depth and in so many volumes was way back, I'm going to say in 94, or no, I guess it was, excuse me, it was probably 1996 when I received that. So, and they were doing the projections of saying that in a few years, their ability to really just throw a switch and make it work would be at hand. And of course, we also always have to remember, by the time we usually find out about something, let's say a stealth airplane or the stealth submarine or some of the new equipment of that sort, it usually has already been completed as much as 10 to 20 years before we found out about it. It's usually old stuff.
And because you remember how they were able to conceal the truth about the atom bomb during the Second World War, about the Blackbird supersonic airplane. I mean, and they just denied these things existed, and the average individual had no idea. The government has all sorts of secrets kept from the public in the name of, well, we don't want the communists to find out. And of course, then, of course, when you find out and you really begin looking into it, you find out that our government's been subsidizing the communists since going all the way back to 1918, 1919. Why? Because you need an enemy to justify all the secrecy, so you don't let the common people know. Because there is an invisible government, there are people who have a different worldview, and they have no compassion or concern for the suffering of the masses. We'll be back in just a moment here at Radio Liberty. Well, Bob, you got 3 minutes to wrap up the program.
Well, I guess the best we can say is that my recommendation is, in general, is don't necessarily believe everything you see or everything you hear, and that's not only from just the government, but from people in general that might get into your ear about something. But if we have a report like the one we're talking about now, where we can show you the documentation, we have reams and reams of the real stuff from the horse's mouth, then you have to get into it. You have to be aware of it. And it's a sad state of affair in the United States now, where some of the biggest criminals I think we have are up in Washington D.C. And it's just sad when their morals have been watered down to absolutely nothing, and the dollar bill for their personal gain is the a flag that they want to march under now. Pay attention, ask questions. When you get an answer, question the answers and try to be aware of what's going on.
Well, of course, we're fortunate that we do have people like Bob, who's been doing this investigative reporting for a number of years. He has a number of fascinating, documentary DVDs, and we do carry a number of those, and certainly we recommend them, and specifically his one on weather modification, because I think it's so, and weather control. It's so vitally important that you get the information, you evaluate it, and then you begin to understand the power that these people on the other side have. And, of course, they've obtained this by using the United States military to develop the scientific studies, the scientific techniques of weather modification. And they really can create earthquakes. They can do all sorts of amazing things to disrupt our world. They can, of course, attack other countries. They can create famine in other countries. They can create great storms and disruption in other countries. And they do this from time to time, but we never know exactly when they've done it, because nobody on the inside ever comes out. But they even can steer storms and make them change their direction. And, well, anyway, Bob Fletcher, thank you so very much for being with us. And we always look forward to having you inform our listeners about the programs for weather modification that are being used not only in the United States but throughout the world today.
Thank you. Thanks a lot. It's always, always a pleasure, Stan.
Good night. Bye-bye. God bless. All right, our guest has been Bob Fletcher. Well, this is Dr. Stan. We do hope that you've enjoyed our program with Bob Fletcher. I've known Bob for some time. I believe him to be reliable. We carry his video on weather modification. We carry a book by Jerry Smith on weather warfare. We carry a book on HAARP, the ultimate weapon. That's HAARP, the ultimate weapon. We have a four-tape set on HAARP. We have two four-tape sets on chemtrails. If you're only going to get one, I'd suggest you get the second one, the chemtrail update. Understand, ladies and gentlemen, that there really are people out there that have developed techniques to create and use the weather as a weapon, not only on foreigners, but on people right here in the United States. If you'd like those pages from Zygmunt Brzezinski's book, and you get into the other material, we'd be glad to provide you the page that talks about how they're going to be able to create storms and earthquakes and new diseases. And believe me, ladies and gentlemen, we got a lot of new diseases. AIDS, an entirely new disease. Chronic fibromyalgia, chronic fatigue syndrome, Ebola fever, Marburg fever. And certainly, as you go through all of these diseases that are out there that are destroying large numbers of people, and certainly the people who have Lyme disease, almost a million of them, many of the totally incapacitated, and everything being done to block their getting treatment, the skyrocketing rates of autism, 1 in 60 boys now has autism. Totally unnecessary. They know this is related to the thimerosal and the aluminum in the vaccines, and they insist on giving it. Alzheimer's disease increasing rapidly. To now it's the seventh cause of death in America, and it can be directly related to the mercury in the fillings. It can be directly related to the mercury in the vaccines. And Dr. Fudenberg had found that if you were foolish enough to take your influenza vaccine and you were between 60 and 65, and of course you took it three or four times over a five-year period, 10 years down the line, you had 1,000% increase in Alzheimer's disease. If you'd like the page of Dr. Fudenberg's webpage, we have it. I would hope that you'd want to get the information and check us out. Do not take your influenza shot. And Sydney, do not allow a pregnant woman to get this or give it to the infants because it has toxic doses of mercury. And they know there is no safe dose of mercury. But we're dealing with people who have a different worldview. They've taken the mercury out of the most childhood vaccines in the United States, although they've left it in vaccines that are giving to children. Isn't it interesting how they twist these terms around? We're talking about the influenza vaccine. You can get it without mercury, but you have to request it, and they discourage you from getting it. But we're giving the mercury to the children all throughout the world, supposedly because we want to protect them from childhood diseases, but really it's a form of population control, because it's the Bill Gates and Warren Buffetts that support population control that are putting up billions of dollars for the vaccination programs in the third world countries. If you've not seen Dr. Ayoub's wonderful DVD that we offer, and only we offer, called Mercury Autism and the Global Population Agenda. Mercury Autism and the Global Population Agenda. When you get that, you get an extra CD-ROM with thousands, probably close to 1,000 different references on there as to the toxicity of the thimerosal. They know that. The government knows that. The CDC knows that. If you haven't read the Simpsonville report, this top-secret CDC report on thimerosal toxicity, you can get that through Radio Liberty. The Simpsonville report, Congressman Weldon actually had to get that. They had it marked secret. They didn't want anybody to see it to let them know that the CDC knew about how they were poisoning our children, and one in every 60 boys is autistic in America today, and they know what they're doing. So if you want to get the material on weather modification or any of the other things, give us a call at 1-800-544-8927. That's 1-800-544-8927. And then we ask you to pray for America. and to pray for Radio Liberty, for our provision and our protection. Until Monday at the same time, may the Lord be with you.
Listening to the Global Star Radio Network, located at Telstar 5 KU band, frequency 11836, symbol rate 20770. Thank you for listening.
News on the information radio.